Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. We are live on Sunday, August 12th, 7:02 p.m. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I am Ash Riot.
We're Hologram.
We are.
And this is our radio show.
It is.
This show belongs to all of us, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a live show. It's a call-in show. Now, the last couple shows, we haven't had any callers, but we do know part of us are thinking, is anybody listening? But we do get feedback that people do listen. Oftentimes, they're shy. And Ash did something today. She offered an incentive for calling in. What did you offer?
If you call in, you get a free MP3 of our song, The Fusion.
The Fusion.
Previously, we have never offered that. We have kind of given a little few, second snippets away on YouTube or whatever, but we've never given the full thing.
Well, that's correct. I don't think we have.
Nope. Not until today.
Not until today. Now, it's 99 cents on iTunes, but it really is priceless. Don't you think, Ash?
It is priceless. I agree. I just noticed that you're wearing a Misfits shirt, and that's really cool.
I am wearing a Misfits shirt, and I'm wearing pajama bottoms because I am very, very relaxed right now.
My mom got me new capri pajama pants, so I'm wearing them.
Isn't that cool? We are very, very relaxed and chillin'. We're chillin' in the hood.
Chilling in the hood. I'm there.
And our show tonight is called... This is a really interesting topic because we were thinking it might be controversial if we do get callers or even just you guys listening to us might think that we offend you, but we are not meaning to offend. I will give you a disclaimer. Any and all, what is the word? I can't even think right now. Any and all ideas and or concepts and or sayings that are uttered from Cheryl Catherine Smith and or Ash Riot throughout the extent of this radio program is merely the ideas and thoughts of said persons. Look at, I sound like a lawyer. Merely the ideas and thoughts of said persons and are not meant to cause harm other than to utilize the freedom of expression that we are all allowed here in the continent of North America.
I know this disclaimer for the Jackass movies.
What is theirs?
Oh, it's long.
Well, yeah, but it's saying don't jump on a shopping buggy and go down a 45-degree hill into a dumpster. I mean, come on. This is a lot different.
It's kind of fun, though.
Yeah, our show, we didn't even tell the title. It's Spiritual Truths versus Spiritual Hoaxes. And the blurb that we have on our site, BBS site, is what constitutes reality versus bullshit in our world's spiritual leaders, philosophies, and practices? Let's discuss.
Let's discuss it.
So for now, I guess it's going to be you and I discussing.
It's going to be great. But what we should do at the beginning is how about, hey, everybody, take your pen or iPhone or computer and write this down.
888. Or just use the good old-fashioned memory.
Yeah, because the call-in number is 888-627-6008. I'll say it again. 888-627-6008. I really think that it would be a great idea for you to listen to The Fusion. It'll help you, and it'll help us.
Well, maybe we should just start by playing The Fusion. I don't know. We didn't even give Don a heads up here, so I don't know if he's ready, if he can grab The Fusion. Would you want to start the show with... We'll play you The Fusion.
Yeah, we'll play you the song The Fusion. And actually, it was a really interesting story about The Fusion is I was sitting in my living room, and... the lyrics kind of just came out, and I'm thinking, this is pretty interesting. I'm just going to let it flow, And it did.
Do you mean? I was there.
No. For the very first part, the first part of the lyrics.
Oh yeah.
It came out, and I was like, this is kind of pretty cool. There was only a couple lines, and then you were there.
But I remember that. I was sitting on the floor in the front room.
That was Spun Sun. Wow. The Fusion.
No. This was in your place. Spun Sun was mine.
Huh? No. Spun Sun wasn't. Spun Sun was right by my fireplace. It was
copyright infringement. It was you.
We all wrote all the lyrics together. But anyways, it was really interesting because I remember it was just after all the leaves had fallen in the fall, and I was sitting in the front room and they just started to come.
I understand. Yes. I remember that now. That was after you heard
you speak.
Speak. I heard you speak. I remember that now.
But Spun Sun, it was you and I on the floor in my living room.
Cool. And then many songs were written in the attic of my home.
Yeah, your old home.
Yeah, the really cool, super cool deluxe attic space that was created there. Wow. Look at that.
All the songs we've done, we've written together.
That is correct.
Everything.
And the Fusion in the bridge part, that all just came on just when I was recording it. Just came out.
On the fly.
Yeah, on the fly. So it's actually a good song for the show because I'll just say the bridge part. We live in a world of illusion, but it serves us. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So if Don would be so gracious to play the Fusion for us, that would be fantastic. Are you there, Don? Maybe he took a bathroom break.
He could have. But anyway, he'll see that when he comes back or hear that. I want to touch further a little bit more on... there he is. Anyway, but we're... Okay, let's just play the Fusion, and then we'll talk a little bit more about...
What did you want to touch more on
first? Yeah, I'll touch more on it first. So, I'm going to touch a little bit on, lyrics and... especially working with Cheryl, it's all been really, 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 it's come really quickly. Like her and I aren't sitting there going, okay, well, let's try and figure out this lyric or what could we put here instead? And, so it's been so almost channeled. So, I can't believe that I finally found that even with another musician where I'm not stuck going, okay, well, let's see something we can find that rhymes with candle.
How about rhymes with orange?
Okay. Either way, it's all flowed so perfectly. And so I'm really proud of the Fusion. I'm really proud of all our songs.
I am too. And it wasn't us who just created it. Kevin was also involved. And so shout out to Kevin Stewart Swain if you're out there.
I mean, lyrically.
No, not yeah. He wasn't involved in the lyrics, but he was involved in the music and the and the creation of the Fusion. So here's the Fusion. It's a hologram song written by Cheryl Catherine Smith and Ash Riot.
Universe encompasses me. Beneath the stars above the sea, enthralled earth watching you, knowing I have a part in this too. Thinkers stay watching, wait for dim eyes, severing my old earthly disguise. Enthralled earth watching you, knowing we have a part in this too. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all delusion. Be not vapid with exclusion. Bring all love in for the fusion. Watch the wind blow power out, stronger than what we were about. And to me, the forgotten thieves rest upon these autumn leaves. Angelic hosts be known to us, falling faster than we trust. Watch the circles born of light, speak in a world of illusion. It serves us, yet we must come back to love. The love revolution is within each and every one of us. A knowing, a higher understanding. We all embrace it. All we have to do is accept.
That was The Fusion by Hologram, and we are Hologram.
We're Hologram.
I'm tired. I'm just feeling, I'm feeling a lot of things. It's been an interesting day, and this subject is pretty heavy too. We're talking about spiritual hoaxes versus spiritual truths, and I put the disclaimer, my on the fly, I'm not a lawyer, but like to sound one, disclaimer, prior to us talking about this, because I think it's important that, obviously, I mean, it's obvious to me, but sometimes people get offended, that anything we say is our opinion, and we have the right to it, because this is our show, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But that being said, we are very open-minded, and we stand by Voltaire, who said, I may not agree with what you have to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. Because the fact is this, is that even if I don't agree with you or you don't agree with me, we are coexisting on this planet, and it's important for us to become, you know, that love, love revolution that we're singing about in The Fusion. You know, we actually do sincerely make efforts to live that way, to bring love into everything. And it's not always easy to do it, because especially when we feel wronged or we feel that injustices are happening, which, you know, is our daily experience. Anybody looks on the television set or they read their newspapers and they will see that there are many injustices that are being reported. Now, whether or not they're in fact true, that's what we're discussing, you know, and it's not just spiritual hoaxes. It's just any kind of hoax or conspiracy or things that are created to manipulate or to help us to conform to a certain, maybe I like that word, sheeple, you know, the people, those of us who don't really think for ourselves, those of us who follow and believe everything that we say, some people, you know, just without even really thinking things through. And this is one of the things that many of our admired previous artists who have gone before us, who we are indeed influenced by, were always speaking about, was basically waking up the masses, having people recognize their own inner power, not having to fall prey to having someone, whether it's a religion or an actual person or an actual philosophy or even a person of authority, tell you how you should feel or how you should act or scare you into doing things based on just this kind of fear model, fear and control. So we're going to talk specifically about spiritual hoaxes just from a very personal perspective. And spiritual truths, that's a whole broader thing, and we'll talk about that a little bit later too. But let's start first with spiritual hoaxes, and let's talk about why we want to talk about spiritual hoaxes. Do you want to share a little bit there, Ash?
Well, yeah. I mean, I see it, like, especially, some of you might know this, but some of you might not. Even Canadians, I guess, can get this, but being in the States, it's so different than being in Canada. All you have to do is look at the television. And we might have listeners in Germany, in wherever, Europe, United States, Canada, anywhere. But one thing I notice about being in the States is even when I'm at my cabin, I turn on the TV, every single commercial is about a medication, church or religion, or the election or something, like whatever, whoever's being elected, or don't vote for this person because
they're a jerk.
Yeah. And so
smear campaigns.
There you go. And so I was going, holy crap. Like, if it's not a commercial telling you that, you know, please take this, you know, please consult your physician because the symptoms include nausea, diarrhea, death, you know, blindness, hearing aid. Like, it's horrible. Like, everything is all about fear. And then I realized one day, holy crap, what is the difference between scaring people through a medication commercial, trying to get you to buy into that, or trying to get you to buy in the way of like televangelists or a lot of religious programming. And I'm thinking, okay, well, something's gotta give here. Something's screwed. Whether it's, you know, all that religious programming is a hoax or there's some truth to it. Why are so many people buying into it?
Well, it's a form of medication in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking about this whole sheeple idea, but that's also part of keeping people medicated. And I like that you use the juxtaposition of the medical, you know, take this pill if you don't want to suffer from depression, but it may make you want to commit suicide. I actually saw a commercial
that said that. I've seen a few that say, if you have suicidal thoughts, consult your physician.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
These are pills that are supposed to, you know, help you from feeling depressed, you know, and from feeling that you're going to get to that place of wanting to take your own life. So the madness of it. And then, yes, the amount of evangelism. Let's just talk about that, the evangelism. But, you know, you're talking about medication. So we actually have literal medication. We have a pill and, you know, that we're being told, and the insanity of it, if you kind of pull yourself away from it and see how insane it is to take a pill that can actually cause you to do that, which is supposed to stop you from doing. And then you have the medication of, you know, there's the word soporific, to be sleep inducing and even to be in a sleepy state, like even mentally, and the Matrix talked about that quite well. I think the Matrix is one of the best movies to kind of show people how we choose actually to live in a non-reality because it's more comfortable than to actually see what, you know, the reality is. But that also is not the case, because once you actually see the reality, it's not that bad. It's pretty damn great. But anyways, that being said, I just wanted to say that one of the things that Ash and I were going to discuss, we talked about this before the program, we were going to talk about evangelists. And Ash and I both have a background in the Christian religion. Ash went to Christian church school for all of her 12 years of schooling. I was very much involved in the Christian church when I was a teenager to my early 20s. And whereby I was actually even ministering and doing all sorts of things for the church. And my heart, the reason why I was involved in the church is because my heart was very much with the teachings and the message of Jesus Christ. And I know that you too feel that way, Ash, that
definitely.
You feel very strongly about the teachings and the message of what we understand the teachings and the ultimate, the purest form of the message of Jesus Christ to be, which is love, period. Teaching that God is within us. Christians have taken it. This is my understanding.
Christians have taken it to, you know, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus was basically like a mirror. And Christians have taken it literally that Christ came to take their sins away and offer himself as the ultimate sacrifice. And I've had so many arguments with Christians about this. And most Christians, they will accuse me of being a backslider, or that I am probably, in their minds, they think I'm demon possessed, that Satan has a grip on me because I have actually had the experience of being a very strong and very committed born again Christian, and have left that way of believing and that way of thinking. And without becoming a dark, evil woman. And I think people are quite perplexed by that, especially Christians. I just had an argument, not an argument. It wasn't an argument. It could have been a potential argument, but it was a discussion, let's just say, with a friend of mine within the last couple of weeks, a friend I've known for many, many years and hadn't talked to in a while, about this very thing, about where is the reality? Where is the spiritual hoax versus the spiritual truth? Say, and we're going to use Christianity again, so we don't want to offend Christians out there, but we probably will, and it's okay because it just is. We don't want to. That's our intention. So if we do, that's too bad. It's nothing we can avoid.
We might offend some Jews. We might offend some...
Well, I don't know much about Judaism, so I can't personally speak from a Jewish perspective. I'd love to have somebody, you know, I admire and respect all religions and all philosophies. In that, especially when people are very committed to their faith, because I think that takes a great amount of courage and diligence, and a lot of, well, I won't say, just a lot of, it shows that they have a lot of willpower, and they have a lot of ability to stay focused on something. But what ultimately I think would serve all, themselves and the planet as a whole to keep bring us back to peace and love is if we acknowledge that perhaps there are some hoaxes in each of our philosophies. Perhaps there's a little bit of the mythical laced within any and all of our philosophies, and to be open-minded to that, not even to take it as being bad or wrong, just that it is, and it's allowing us to have the ability to question all things. And I think this is one thing that for those who have been raised in a particular religious background and been taught by your parents and your grandparents and on, how many have actually just questioned it? Have actually just gone, you know what, I know you've believed this, and we might have even as a family have believed this for centuries, but maybe I might want to ask my own questions around it. And a lot of people who have inklings of something doesn't feel quite right, they just ignore it. Mm-hmm. And they push it away, and they just go, well, this is what we've done, and this is what we're going to do. So this is where the sheeple aspect of this comes in, where it's not even about you making a conscious decision. Sometimes it's just about the decision's already been made for you, and you just accept it because it's easier. It's That's the true. Easier, softer way. Mm-hmm. And to change something or to question, you know you're going to be probably met with a bit of confrontation, especially if it's within your own family or with your friends. And so most of us would rather not deal with that projected confrontation. You know, we just think we'll keep this to ourselves, and, you know, we'll just kind of plod along. And yet I think that it would serve a greater purpose for all involved if we did ask certain questions. And instead of getting offended immediately when a question is asked and just take something personal, like your own belief system is being attacked, just be open-minded. And a dialogue can ensue. So getting back to evangelists, you wanted to share a story?
Oh, yeah. So I probably for about 4 years, I was going to school with a very, 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 very famous, you'll know who he is, TV evangelist's
nephew.
And just really seeing the, I mean, there's a tight-knit community of evangelists, honestly, But yet somehow, if they're all supposed to be kind of preaching the word of, you know, God and Christianity, they're not really all friends. We're all kind of supposed to be working together, whatever it is. Okay, I'm not even going to say religion or whatever. But we're really not... I just really saw, like, rivalry. And if they're supposed to be, you know, really... It's hard to put this in a way where it's delicate enough that it doesn't sound like I'm being a total ass. But I just really feel that I don't even think God would be too cool with that. Like, if they're supposed to be representing God, Goddess's words, or in their case, God, why, and philosophies and everything, why are they so against each other? Like, I remember this boy telling me, yeah, you know, my uncle, we're all going to, we're in Palm Springs, California, and we're all going to this big convention, and you know, we're going to prove to everybody that, you know, he's the best, and that he is the best televangelist. And I really don't feel that there should be better or best or whatever, but anything, yet I'm seeing that, you know, a religion that's supposed to be about love is really... not. And there's so many different explanations and so many different examples I can give you, but I'm going to use this example as a big one because that's when I first went, what? Like, I remember sitting in my art class and this boy was there and I was going, are you kidding me? You're saying all this and you're expecting us to buy into this when this is the background of it all? I really didn't get it. And that's why I really felt hoaxed for the first time. I really felt like, you really want me to send you my money? And you're going to pray for me or give me some crystal in the mail that's going to, you know, help me? I don't understand that. Like, what is different about love you can get from your friends or, you know, even going to a group or just the support, the real support that doesn't involve money, yet it's apparently not as good. So I don't get it.
Well... I think, you know, one of our most recent songs that we wrote is called Where's the Grace? We've got it on demo. And it was inspired after we had watched a televangelist pleading for the money of the masses, you know, money for the ministry. And it felt completely insincere.
And manipulative.
It felt very manipulative. And it felt that it didn't feel sincere. And if you have, I mean, the message of Christ is love. And if you have the love message and you have people who profess to be representing Christ in Christianity, and yet there is no love even between themselves, wouldn't it make sense to me that what would happen is, in the spirit of love, you would want your brother or sister to be equally successful as you.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be about competing. It wouldn't even be about pleading for funds. You could say, hey, we need to build a barn. We could use some help. You know, but we don't need to have you. This, it was really ridiculous. I can't remember who this.
But they keep.
They were asking for $100,000 donations.
And they kept saying things like, you know, Lord, your God wants you to do this.
We have Brian from BC on line 3. Hello, Brian.
Hey, it's Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
You know what? I was actually thinking you were Brian because Brian is the name of the gentleman I was talking about that I had that discussion with. And I thought he was going to call in and continue it. So, hey, Ryan.
How are you?
Hey, how are you doing? I'm good. How are you?
We're good. What is it that you wanted to talk about with regards to what our topic is?
It's something that's kind of, it's affected my life quite a bit. I think maybe we've talked a bit about like religion and stuff like that. Time we've known each other a little bit, not much, but... I mean, I like what Ash said about the medications, what you guys spoke about, because there are, like, commercials of medications in the States. And I've noticed them here too. Just the amounts, I mean, like some people are, I think a lot of people are over-medicated, and it's almost like government indoctrination. Like you people, like they're trying to control people. Like there's always somebody trying to control another person. And with medications, I mean, some people, a lot of people are over-medicated. Some people aren't taking enough medication, in my opinion, but, like in terms of like indoctrinations, you look in the States, you've got the Branch Davidians. Well, you had them. There's like there was the Order of the Solar Temple. There's Scientology. You know, all those, you know, they're all cults. And, you know, if you look at the definition of cult, it's basically like a group of people that are following one supreme kind of being. You know, so it, I mean, that's in a nutshell, I think that, you know, that's kind of like somewhere along the lines. But if you look at all these different, you know, religions, you'll see that. You'll see they're all worshiping one great big thing that's so much larger than them. And I get that, but there's always some kind of physical human leader saying, you have to do this, you have to do that. And, you know, I mean, I have a huge problem with that. I know it's like, I also, you know, I'm very firm on, you know, Voltaire's saying, I'm sorry, I just blanked.
It's okay. He says he may not agree with what you have to say, but he'll defend.
Right.
He'll fight
I disapprove of what you say, but we'll defend it. Yeah. That's one of my favorite quotes. I had a concussion last weekend, so I'm still a little bit out of it, but, you know, people are allowed to believe what they want to believe and say what they want to say as long as it's not violent and hurting anybody else. I was raised Anglican, but there was also some spiritual abuse there. You know, it was very back and forth. It was, you know, I think I may have told you guys about this in the past, but there were some really crazy, you know, hardcore religion. And then it moved into such a, you know, kind of like a dark kind of, I'm not going to get too into it right now because it's just not necessary, but, you know, just kind of like how to access those powers that so many people abuse. And eventually I did, you know, in getting older, you know, I read the Satanic Bible, which, I mean, it's, you know, I was just curious and I read it, and then I got involved with an evangelical church in Winnipeg called The Vineyard. And they wanted to reform me from addiction. They wanted to reform me from sex work. They wanted to reform me from being queer. They arranged an exorcism.
Oh.
And I went through two exorcisms.
Wow.
Which were, yeah.
Wow.
It was them torturing me. What? Sorry?
I'm interested in knowing what that experience was for you to see. Here's someone saying that something's very, very wrong with you. In fact, you are demon possessed. You're possessed by something other than yourself, and we're going to help you get rid of it. So what did they do?
Well, there was a whole lot of praying. They took my background and, like just kind of learned a little bit about, you know, because like my mother had convinced me that she was Satan, that she turned into a snake at night, that she had all these powers, that the devil was in her. So, and
all
that
right.
The devil could be in me. So it's like there was all these things that kind of came into play. So they took that history and they started counseling me with the pastor of the church. And they had, you know, a number of sessions where, you know, some of the other younger people, I guess in their early 20s, I was in my late teens, would come in and talk to me, and they were doing missionary work and stuff like that. And then eventually I sat down in the home of two pastors, and they did this praying thing, this laying of hands. They triggered a lot of stuff from my childhood, like that I confided in them about. And so, of course, I'm freaking out, and you know, I'm also newly off drugs and probably in tons of withdrawal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, of course, I'm overly emotional. And they're telling me that this is all of this is demons coming out. And I had a lot of paranoia because I was doing a lot of acid back then and anxiety. And, you know, so it's like really what I was experiencing was my body was trying to detoxify itself, you know, and also having a very negative reaction to somebody putting hands on me, somebody touching my physical body, when that's not something I was able to handle at that point. So yeah. It got very, it was traumatic, and it sat with me for a number of years. You know, it was, I don't believe that exorcisms are always necessary. I know some faiths do believe that, but I think for most of the, I guess more Western faiths and stuff like that, it's, you know, or for our faiths here in North America, it's not really as much of a, you know, when you look at kind of the larger, I think it's a ploy to gain control over people and make you feel like you're powerless. And I've really readdressed a lot of my faith over the last little while, you know, and I was really indoctrinated with Christianity. And lately I've just been thinking, what really is out there? What do I really truly believe in? You know, do I want to follow a crowd, or do I want to know, like, I'm not interested in church. The yeah. old indoctrination is, you know, things that I was taught, you know, says, oh, that's where I'm supposed to be. But deep in my heart, it's like, I need to find what I believe in. Let it be God, you know, if that's what I'm going to believe in, or let it be Buddhism, or maybe I just want to live being a good human being and doing well and, you know, giving goodwill, you know, and just being the best person I can be and being honest and living with integrity, you know, and that's my version of spirituality, you know.
Well, you've had quite a road. I was researching just really quickly prior to the show because I wanted to see how much came up under spiritual hoaxes on the internet. It's quite phenomenal. I've learned a lot in a few minutes. And this one site is Divine Openings. It's divineopenings.com. And it's a woman, and she says, busting spiritual myths. And I was just thinking as you're talking, one of them, which I read to Ash, was, being good. And she says this is one of the biggest myths, that you get some kind of points for being good or spiritual. Again, that is a human perspective that says you have something to achieve or to earn. In a God perspective, you're here to experience. You have free will, and you can do anything you want without judgment. Now, here's the kicker. Up in the higher vibrations, when you are your largest self, which I would say is your highest self, you wouldn't hurt anyone anyway. But neither would you have to sacrifice for anyone. So basically, this is the whole premise of what Ash and I are even saying when we talk about the love revolution and the fusion and in the bridge part. You know, most people, most religions, it is, you're right, it is about control. There's actually a lot of documentation about how in the 12th century the church got involved because there was basically their form of anarchy happening, and they wanted a way to control the people. And so what better way to control them is to tell them there's a heaven or a hell and you better be good or you're not going to go to heaven. And so that was a very conscious way of controlling and what seemed to be an uncontrollable situation. And I think it's really great because what you're sharing, first of all, you've got people telling you that you are full of demons. I mean, how harsh is that to have somebody say that to you and actually put you through that trauma? Because that sounds very traumatic. And I'll share this too. When I was involved in the ministry with the AIM, it was called AIM, Ambassadors in Mission, Ambassadors in Mission. And it was a youth program, and we were traveling. I was involved as a singer with the band, and we were singing and worshiping and traveling and spreading the message. And one particular time, we went up to Houston, B.C., and there was apparently this boy whose mother was a witch. And right away, we were, as AIM members, instilled with fear because our idea of witch was that she was evil and dark and casting spells, and apparently she had told this boy that she did not want him to come into the church. Now, we took that as, oh my goodness, he needs to be saved. She doesn't want him to come into the church because she's evil and she wants him to be, you know, led by the dark path, yada, yada, yada. And when I think about it in retrospect, first of all, I have since learned that witchcraft in and of itself is not evil. It's the person who practices anything, what their intention is, that makes anything dark or light.
Even Christianity,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And this woman probably was saying, don't go in that church, you might get, you know, they're kind of crazy. And meanwhile, you know, we're just taking it as this big and bold thing. And I'm very aware of exorcisms and all that, because this is the kind of stuff that our team was dealing with. And in hindsight and in retrospect, I think, wow, who were we to decide that because someone was a drug addict or because someone was a prostitute or because someone was queer, right, that they had some kind of demon influence? I mean, I went on to become a drug addict. I went on to have other experiences that, and I knew I wasn't demon possessed. These were choices that I made. And I think this is what it's about. This is where it gets really scary, is because it's about separation. It becomes about judgment, and it becomes about I'm better than you. And you know what? Not only am I better than you, but you need me to save you. And so I am not going to do anything based on even an intuitive connection. I'm just going to go full bore at you based on a book or based on someone who told me how to do this exorcism, not even recognizing the fact you had sexual abuse trauma, you had all sorts of things going on with you, and they're just going, I'm going for it. They're not even really connected. They are not connected to source, because if they were, they would know intuitively these are things that they should not do with you. And the reason why I asked you about your experience, because I find it quite mind-blowing that you had it, but I think it's beautiful that you're open to sharing it with our listeners, because that is a perspective that most people will never have. And I think it's a really big example of what we can do to each other in littler ways.
And how we can contradict ourselves, how people in religion and people in, you know, that place of power in religion are really contradicting themselves. Like, those people who are exorcising you are basically going against everything they are, you know, have read in the Bible, or that they're supposed to be about, that God is the number one and he is the only one who can heal. And yet they're trying to basically play God and, you know, heal you. Or like, even when you see on TV, there's some guy who's pretending to limp, and then all of a sudden it's like, you are struck down by the Lord. And then all of a sudden they can walk. It's like bullshit, man. That's total bullshit.
Well, it's not all, though. I mean, this is the whole other side. We're staying with the hoaxes right now, but
yeah.
We've got some time left that we can talk about the truth. We haven't even talked about the truth yet.
I'm still stuck on the
minutes, hoaxes,
man.
But Ryan, thank you for sharing that.
And that's awesome.
And I also wanted to commend you, because you are a living example of your seeking at the age that you're at right now. You are seeking. You're still open. And not even saying that one or another path is the right path. It's just one that would work for you, right?
Right.
So it's, and this is where we need to allow each of us to be. I don't have to tell you, you know what, Ryan, I think you should be a Buddhist, because that's the best religion on the planet. And some people say it's not a religion, it's a philosophy. Or, you know, Ryan, you got to be a Christian, because if you're not a Christian, you're not going to go to heaven, man. You know, like, there's only one way. Or, you know, Ryan, you should be a Muslim. You know, that's the way to be. And you know, that's going to bring you, or you really should be a Scientologist. You know, that's that, you know, you'll be rich and you'll be famous. And, you know, whatever it is, I think it's important for us just to be who we are, to allow each other to be who we are without feeling threatened by it.
Yeah. Lately, I've been spending, like, tons of time out in nature, going for like huge long hikes, just thinking about this stuff and connecting with nature. And right now I think nature is my God, if that makes sense.
Oh, that totally makes sense. I know in the program, the 12-step programs, they talk about higher powers, and your higher power should be anything that you feel is outside yourself that can bring you that sense of connection and creation and that sense of being one with something or feeling protected.
And not feeling like something has to be above you. And I even want to quote, well, through my friend who was watching a special, I guess, on Marilyn Manson, and one of his lyrics was so freaking dead on, because even in his album, like, Antichrist Superstar, you can plainly see if you're not a super, you know, narrow-minded, you know, religious fanatic, that he's not Antichrist, he's anti-religion. And one of his lyrics was, "I went to God just to see that I was looking at me." And that is really, really cool, because even in Christian school, when, you know, we were taught, we were going on all these hikes and stuff, we were trying to, like, I never went, get closer to God and stuff and feel the nature and then feel God and everything. I'm thinking, what the heck are you guys wasting your time doing? Like, you're really trying to find something that already exists in you.
That's what I was saying about Jesus saying,
exactly.
I am. If we each...
That's why I'm drawing it back to that.
Exactly. If we all said, I am, we all are pieces of God. Some of us aren't comfortable saying we are God, but maybe you're more comfortable saying you're a piece of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself makes you divine. And I love nature. I am a huge fan of nature, Ryan. I spend a lot of time, I get a lot of my solace from nature, from trees. That's why we say kiss a tree, because
that's why you go to camping.
That's why we go, exactly. We go be in nature, because it's so important and imperative. And I say this to people when they feel like their lives are out of control, go to nature. And so much so that I actually was thinking of myself as a pantheist for a while.
Cool.
I thought, I'm a pantheist, man. I totally dig this nature. And There is God in nature. There's God in you. There's God in me. There's God in animals. It's, you know, even whatever is around us, situations can be God. I just think
mm-hmm.
we have to stop limiting ourselves and allow ourselves to expand. And I really want to commend you for your courage, Ryan, because you share so openly about your life. And so many people are afraid to say anything about themselves because they fear judgment, or they fear some kind of something will come back at them because of it. But you know what? I found that anything, when I share honestly and authentically about my life or my situations or things that have happened to me, that only good comes out of it. So I thank you for that. And I also want to encourage others to be as open as you are in situations that they can help another. So thank you for that. You've always been really great for that. So I just wanted to point that out and say, bless you, man. We love you, and you're wonderful. Just your life as an example, it's amazing.
Thank you. You guys make it easy to open up, too, because you're both so open as well. So,
well, hey, I mean...
I will let you guys...
Pardon?
Oh, sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, I just said, hey, I mean, it really is just about being authentic for each of us, and the only way we can get authenticity out of other people is if we present ourselves as authentic from the very beginning. Then it gives them permission. You know how Marianne Williamson talks about, you know, you have to show your light. You know, don't hide it, because if you hide it because you think that's the humble thing to do, forget it. You need to just be big and be bold, and it's not about false humility, but it's about, you don't have to hide the light that you are. It gives others permission to shine their own. A lot of people don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
At first, they get pissed off, but then eventually they get it. It's not about you tooting your own horn. It's about you just being who you are and saying, why don't you just come on in? The water's fine.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to let you guys go now. So
we've missed you.
I need to go.
Yes, we have. We'll have to do pancakes again.
Well, we should go to Bowen Island and have lunch with an arbutus tree.
I heard that's where you want to be, so we'll talk more about that for sure.
All right.
All right, we love you, Ryan.
All right,
thanks.
Love you guys.
Okay, bye.
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 Wow.
That was really something.
That was quite intense.
Very cool. And you know what? Again, the intensity of life, this is the realities of life. And in the song, The Fusion, what I believe, well, what I meant in the bridge part, we live in a world of illusion. It serves us. What I mean by that is we are all here. You know how Shakespeare talks about all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. We're all here to have experiences. I truly believe that. And so there is a lot of illusion around us because this is, for example, the illusion that I'm a solid thing or that the rock is solid or that the chair that I'm sitting on is solid. That's all an illusion because physics has proven that everything is not in fact solid. But we need the separateness to have the experience of being pieces of God and or goddess. I mean, I use the word God kind of in asterisks. Anyways, I feel very strongly that it's imperative that we all just sort of recognize that we can't just go, the world's illusion, let's hate it. Why can't we go, yeah, there is illusion. And, you know, there's certain things about the illusion that serve us. And let's just kind of be okay with it. But it really is getting down to what works for each of us. And so this is where I talk about the spiritual truths. We only have a few minutes, but in a nutshell, it's really easy. We don't even have to tell you examples of spiritual truths because you know your own. You know your own. And it's not about me preaching to you or Ash preaching to you. I'll say that preachy word about what is truth and this is what you should watch out for and this is what you should, you know, embrace. It's more just saying, giving you permission that you already have. We're just reminding you to find your own truths. Ryan finds it in nature. I find it in nature. I find it connected to, you know, prayer, connected to meditation. I feel great. I work with a lot of natural elements. I do ritual. There's different things that work for me. And so find your own spiritual truth. And how do you know it's true for you? Because you feel it.
You feel, just like if you feel like something's off, you'd feel it.
Exactly. And just because you don't believe as your friend does or as your boss does or maybe even as your marital partner does, doesn't mean you can't coexist.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean you can't coexist because it's really just about life. It's just about love. It's about living, experiencing, and coming back to relationship, to trust, to having faith, and loving, loving, loving.
I think this show's going to need a part two.
I was just thinking that, actually.
Because you know what? Like, we barely touched on spiritual truth. How do you really go about this in 1 hour?
Well, I was thinking, how are we going to fill up an hour? But every time that we start doing our show, it unfolds. It unfolds. And then before you know it, our hour is up. We're like, wow, that went quickly. But we're really grateful to you, Ryan. Thanks for calling in. And for those of you who are listening, thank you. If you're interested in receiving our song, The Fusion, you know what? Just pop an email to us. We'll send it to you.
For free.
If you need it, we'll send it to you. Email it us at, what's our hologram yet?
Just email one of us instead of that one. This is probably easier than yours. Email ashriot@rocketmail.com.
Sure. All right. If you're interested
I'll send it to you.
In receiving an MP3 of The Fusion, email ashriot@rocketmail.com.
ROCKETMAIL.
Rocket, baby. Well, thank you for listening. We love you. Kiss a tree, connect to that which makes you feel serene, which makes you feel whole.
And don't buy into a lot of the bullshit that you're being fed.
Oh, ask questions. That's the Don Miguel Ruiz, one of the four agreements. Never be afraid to ask questions. We love you. We're going to leave you with a fusion. We're going to ask Don if he would be so kind to play it one more time. You guys can listen to the song, listen to the words, and think of the love revolution. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night.